Okay, team. Well, what a strong time to convene. Pluto is stationing exactly in 5 minutes. It's like we couldn't have planned this better. It's like, ooh. So, as I wrote and I've been thinking so strongly, because it is dark of the moon before an eclipse, Pluto stationing, ooh. So demons are most dangerous and volatile at this time in direct proportion to the force of their exclusion, which is why we begin with this really great song from Third World. You're playing us too close. Here we go.
Everybody, come on. Once it would ask a light, come on. This song was written by Third World and Stevie Wonder. Let me hear from the brother, Mr. Stevie Wonder. Come on, yeah. Can somebody scream, y'all? Yeah. Okay. Spreading over the land, more oppression to the have-nots is how you play your hand. Oh, we're fighting, it's the writing from those who say they know. And if that's true, we know just who you'll be picking to go. But the beat you are playing to what Jah is saying is rock. Every dude, I recommend that you stop before it's too far forward. And I just gotta say, you're playing us too close. My people down there in the prison, I said, you're playing us too close. Can't you see how my children suffer? I said, you're playing us too close. Every day there's so much frustration. I said, you're playing us too close. We're losing our patience, so take heed and do let it be known that I told you today. Just say it, don't play me so close. You don't want to obey, but you're writing your own ticket to the price you will pay. Us you hold back, but the drawback is not to us alone. Time will make you to a prisoner before you see the wrong. But the melody that you are playing is in the wrong key. Oh, just quiet, sing out to all, every word on the knee. And I just gotta tell them, y'all playing us too close. My brothers and sisters down there in the ghetto, you're playing us too close. Every day, every day, my children suffer. Playing us too close. Can't you see the young people? We don't want no more frustration. Oh, Lord, playing us too close. Our patience, so take heed, let it be known that I told you today. Just say it. Oh, yeah. We have to, on this beautiful day, we have to give thanks and praise to Amnesty International. Come on, y'all, let me hear it for Amnesty International, y'all. Because
show that people in this world still care. We still care, yes we do. Hey, Richard, Ebo, Cat, and William the Jumps, can we all say, can we all put our voices to say, let's say, say!
We're gonna raise our bar to time, so Jaja love can rule the world. You need to raise your bar to time, so Jaja love can rule the world. I'm gonna raise my bar to time, so Jaja love can rule the world. Say we're gonna raise our bar to time, so Jaja love can rule the world.
Whoa. All right. Well, we wanted to start there because that's one way of working with Pluto. And we know we are here at Pluto stationing. Oh, it just went direct. It just went direct during that song. So it's like, when a planet stations, it's not causative, but it's guiding. What it represents really wants our attention. And over, team, you know, it's like either we know the guiding or the myth and participate with it, or we're possessed by it. You know, and the Pluto dynamic, I sent you a long thing I wrote for the Patreon team. I got sort of like tracking Pluto stations and going, ooh, we should know about this, the importance of reading symbolically. Because the Pluto station, like that song is, you know, it's dangerous, volatile, explosive in direct proportion to the force of its exclusion. It's like, woo, over and over again. And in the long thing I sent you that I get sent to the Patreon people, it's long and quirky, but I got on a roll of the Pluto station. So huge, you know, opportune, quirky time. So it is, right, so it's Pluto station, dark of moon, when people gather to determine the course of culture, before an eclipse, right? So it's like, whoo, and many other things, but that by itself. Right, and we do want to do a shout out to our wonderful Eliza, whose birthday it is, and I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to put your chart in this, because my birthday's on the 14th, but all of us Librans now have this eclipse and this Pluto stationing as part of our repertoire for the year, right? Because it's in our, what's called our solar return. So I think I can find this here. Brief moment. There we go. Just everybody amuse yourselves. Okay. All right. Oh, wait. One more thing. All right. Just feel Pluto while I'm searching here. Okay. So, what we have here, let me play with it. We have the chart of now, and Eliza's chart in the middle. Let me show you. Okay. So this is just the chart of right now, all that we're having. And look, Pluto stationing, it had a little RX beside it, and now it's direct just in the last 4 minutes. And we go, ooh, we're very tapped in. And it's stationing at the degree of where Pluto was when this country was founded, the Pluto return. So it's like, ooh. And then we'll come right back to Eliza's chart in 2 seconds. Pluto does have a 60 degree angle to Neptune. So it says the power, the way to work with this power is through music and metaphor. All right. So now we get to put Eliza's chart here because it's happy birthday tomorrow. And then just for the fun of it. So we are very kinned, Eliza. I mean, different, of course, you know, but your sun at 18 Libra, that's the Robin Hood degree. That's my Saturn, exactly the same degree. Your Mars is, excuse me, moves me, is 21 Libra. That's my sun in Neptune. Your Saturn's 22 Leo. That's my Pluto. All right. But back to all of us through Eliza, the eclipse on new moon on Saturday will be at 21 degrees of Libra. And so any big deal thing says, oh, you who, oh, you humans, this is a powerful moment that leaves a very strong imprint. It's thought that eclipses, you know, are resonant for a good 6 months. Those of us for whom it happens on our birthday, we get it the whole year. And everything real, everything symbolic. So it was my friend Sylvia who pointed out years ago, for those lucky enough to have been in a total eclipse, and I am an eclipsophile. As often, as much as possible, I'm skipping the one on my birthday, but you know, it's annular. But so when you're in, like, on the beach with with scientists and new age people, so as the moon starts to cover up the too bright light of the sun, the temperature drops and the winds come up and the striation bands move across the land, like, and it gets very spooky. And even the scientists on the beach are like, ooh, primal, the light source being cut off, and fish go to sleep. I've been in the ocean during an eclipse, and fish are like, oh, and birds roost. And it's way spooky. It's like, ooh, and primal, you know. And then at the moment of totality, it's like, oh, and again, even scientists drop to their knees like, oh my God, because it's so beautiful. And the precision of it, we're the only planet we know of that can have eclipses, because the sun and the moon are the same size visually in the sky. And in 20 million years, we won't have them because the moon is slowly moving away, you know. But it's the symmetry, like, and, you know, many kinds of astrology. But if you were the court astrologer, you know, back in Turkey, and you missed an eclipse, like, yeah, I mean, I had to, you know, it was really important, big deal. but at the moment of totality, people go, oh my God, you know, and then you see the necklace around the sun of the little, all the, whatever you call them, anyway, but it's beautiful. And then you see the stars, you see the planets that you hadn't seen. In this case, for those who are going to be watching it in the eclipse path, one would see Venus and Mars and Mercury and Jupiter. You'd see all those. So Sylvia says, right before an eclipse, like weeks before, right, it gets spooky. Ooh. And primal superstitious dread and life force and survival, you know, plus Pluto stationing, you know, arise, like, ooh. And then at the eclipse, you see the stars. And so the metaphor is, you know, it's spooky before an eclipse, but afterwards, you can see possibilities that you couldn't see before. And this is an important theme. And in our micro and macro, you know, the I Ching that I threw for us that we can go over, you know, but meanwhile, texts coming in from people in related mini crisis. And I just, you know, would cut and paste going, read this, read this, read this, pull in, gather your wits. Yeah. So just Eliza, you know, happy birthday to us. You get an eclipse in your birthday year packet. And that's a useful metaphor for us all to animate the art of the eclipse. You know, may this be eclipsed by this, right? May cruelty be eclipsed by kindness, by, and then this is more of our mythic news headlines. If we could make it more sensual, may the camel of the but working with the eclipse thing, I'm turning it over to everybody's wonderful imagination to go, what eclipsed by what? But so many great things. You will have Mercury in Libra right on your Venus to be able to express with your hands and your voice your deepest creative culture doctor self, and Saturn trining your spicy ascendant, so you're you know, all of your skills are available. There you go. So that's fun. Yeah. Right. And then, just another cool thing, you wise rascal. So we love symmetry. We love symmetry and patterns. We do. It's so heartening. So Neptune in the sky, you know, was here when Eliza was born. It moves very slowly, goes around every 165 years. So Neptune was here at the degree of two men placed under arrest. Anybody you want to nominate, Eliza, that's completely great. It's a good vision. It's very powerful, and it's opposite Saturn in Leo, which is very flary. I'm a super charming, deeply private, outgoing, theatrical person, maybe. Because your Saturn, my Pluto, people say 22 Leo is a rock star degree because its image is bareback rider thrills the excited crowds. And it's like, but it's Saturn. It's like in a serious way. But anyway, so Neptune's here when you were born, and it's taken it this long in the sky for it to move to here. It's at 25 Pisces, and it goes, oh, look, does anybody have anything at 25 Pisces? And we go, it's Eliza's north node of the moon, her life work. The area that where you focus on, everything comes into play opposite the south node. It's the north and south nodes are just where the moon crosses the sun's path. And the south node is what we already know how to do, and we take it to the north node. And a friend of mine says, south node in the 11th house, foolish to worry about what other people think or try and fit in. No, it'll only break your heart. Better to follow your own creative vision, you know, and your team will find you. And Neptune just says, I'm a big deal, group mind, cultural intelligence here to say that your creative vision, your ritual creative self is henceforth increasingly welcome in collective cultural group mind. Yes, yes, you've won. Okay, there we go. So does that feel fun? Oh, that's great. Okay. Wonderful. Okay, so we want to go many places, you know, and feel free, you know, as people have thoughts. I think we can make it so that people can unmute themselves if they feel to. That would be completely okay. So we have some experimenting to do, and since you know the power, how do we best cooperate in this horrific, dangerous time that really is pulling out, you know, if you go on social media, it's like, ooh, the worst of people, ooh, the feeding of the Dementors through polarity and right, which is also, I just want to do, you know, nice dancing with you, Neil. Just that was an excellent dance. So we're all learning to go, rah, 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 whoa, how wonderful, you know, the micro and the macro. So, yeah, the trickster, in accord with what we all do now, the trickster desirable is more impossible and more needed. It was in 2008, I was looking through the Visionary Activist archives because I remembered interviewing this man, Yehuda Atai, a great peace activist in Israel. And I hosted him with Rod Suskin, a great friend of mine who's a Sangoma in South Africa. And they talked about the one state solution. And Rod had said, yeah, in South Africa, you know, the end of apartheid was just as impossible, you know, as the one state solution. Yehuda had delineated how he'd been working with Israeli military to go, see, war, no nuclear war. Israel has 200 nuclear warheads. He found all this, put it out. This was in 2008. They have more now. But he worked with the military, and he said, like the movie War Game, he said, here's my watch, you know, here, play a game of whoever starts this war, you know. And he said, all the military, it's like the movie War Game, like, it's unwinnable. You can't win, Right. And they were, you know, it's a very, what do we want to speak to? You know, Israel was in complete, more people in the streets than in France, you know, about the authoritarian takeover of their Supreme Court and, you know, and many things. And it's like, you know, this, you know, and Bibi. And so we know, you know, those voices are all silenced now, because I wrote to Yehuda Atai. I found him going, first, we hope you're safe. And your family, you know, and here's the show we did in 2008, you know, and you want to come on. And I forgot, he said it starkly and more accurately than I can remember what he says. He just said, no, it is not possible for me to speak now. I go, right, okay. Because again, everything to which he's dedicated, as I said, and put in the in our little missive, is it's more impossible and more needed, you know, that dedication. And so that idea that I kind of put in the missive of like, well, let's see what he had, what he animated so beautifully as actual in some world, right? And that's why I mentioned Haruki Murakami. Don't know if any of you have read him, but IQ 84. Okay, Judy's nodding, right? Very trippy writer, so interesting. But the part that we're kind of pulling from that novel, which is amazing, is it turns out there are multiple worlds, that in one world, our world, one day there's two moons, you know, and the character is like, hey, people, what's with this two moons? And everybody goes, there's always been two moons. And then lots of other more disturbing things. And so he and one of the characters must go backstage to reconjure the world as it is, as it's meant to be. And then at a certain point, they pull the sluice gates so that the backstage imaginal world pours into this realm of incarnational actuality. So I figured we might as well do that. I mean, that's a useful thing to do now, this weekend, forever, but especially now. Like, so how do we cooperate? Dark of moon, the thing. So that leads us to our another quality of ourselves, this Neptunian trance realm. So again, years ago, and I don't know if this is the right recording of the Rudra mantra, but a great deep friend said, you know, Rudra, even though the mantra, the way it's listed in our email, is called something to Shiva, but it's like, no. When I returned from India teaching in 2018. You know, I was like, in India, some trickster thing is missing, but I can feel it there. And my friend sent me and said, Rudra is the original egalitarian trickster power. But he was thought of as too redemptive and too radical, like no caste systems, equality. This was the god of that. And Shiva, we think of Shiva as like a cool, you know, intense guy. Shiva means his name means to quiet. So they kind of put Shiva like a quieting blanket on top of Rudra, going shh, shh, shh. Anyway, so I thought I found one of the Rudra mantras, and I thought, just for us to feel our way in, you know, a good, just kind of 4-minute meditation in just the right imagery, I think, for now, and just to let us be transported into the imaginal realms. So here we go, the chant to Mudra, Rudra.
भगवते रुद्राय ॐ नमो भगवते रुद्राय ॐ नमो भगवते रुद्राय ॐ नमो भगवते रुद्राय भगवते रुद्राय ॐ नमो भगवते रुद्राय ॐ नमो भगवते रुद्राय ॐ नमो भगवते रुद्राय भगवते रुद्राय ॐ नमो भगवते रुद्राय ॐ नमो भगवते रुद्राय
And let's imagine breathing in light, breathing out dark. So breathing in light, breathing out dark. Ooh, but trippy, no? Very, very one version of Pluto. I think it's effective. It's like that's a quality, very mesmerizing. I didn't want to interrupt the tranciness of it, but just for us now to, part of the Vajra Dakini, work, the working with the shadow worlds, right? This is the Pluto realm. When you meet demons in the underworld, you always ask them, what's your story? But then you begin to breathe together. And I love even in sumo wrestling, the referee will not begin the match until the two opponents are breathing together. That's right. So one began to breathe with the demons and to breathe in light and breathe out darkness, any dark complicity in one's own heart. Let's just do that a couple times. Just breathe in light. Dark. Breathe in light. Breathe out dark. And then a bold thing, we're just going to do a little microdosing of bold. what the pre-Tibetan Buddhists would then do is say, well, after you've done that for a while, breathe in light, breathe out dark. If you feel like it, and we're protected by our group, we breathe in the world's darkness and breathe out light. It's a positive intrigue, kind of bold move, but we're safe with each other, and just a little micro dose of that to try this at home, right? Again, with one's clear intention, right? So it's not hubris, not whatever, but it is, So if you feel to, let's do this for a couple of breaths, which is breathe in the world's darkness. Breathe out light. This is going on now around the world. People doing this, in retreats and caves and all the practices, because it's so hot and reactive. And that's why the I Ching was so interesting, about, I'll come back to that. Why it was such interesting, whatever. Oh, yeah. It said, I Ching, no changing lines, retiring, pull back in order to advance. Right, because it's true, it's hot and reactive out there. It's like, ooh. And then it said, sacrifice to the ghost river and the underworld powers. Well, I think that serpent was pretty good there. That looks like a denizen of the ghost river. And that's why I do love Stephen Karcher's I Ching. Total I Ching. quirky, interesting scholar guy, a real scholar, didn't make it up, but because he took the I Ching back before Confucius to a much more animistic, right? Again, Pluto literacy, like sort of spicy, dark intrigue. I don't know about you all, but as a little girl, you know, they'd go to the art museum and my mother would go, "Don't you want a little reproduction of Rembrandt's Girl with a Watering Can?" It's like, "No, I want the Hounds from Hell." And we need this kind of quality, and to be familiar with it, you know, to be familiar with it, like, what is it, how to cooperate with that quality of sizzle, and what has been excluded, right? And that's the Tibetan Buddhist thing, also useful, that the Tibetan imagery is the demons are on the other side of a locked door, heavy padlocks pounding, right? And the Tibetan Buddhist invitational visualization is that we all have a laser beam from our third eye, and it goes to the lock, and it lasers off the lock on the door. And the door opens, and the demons come out. And the Tibetans go, "Come on out. Come on out and dance. Nobody's as ugly as Yamantaka, the lord of death. Right? Come on out." And they come on out, and they dance. Right? And that's, you know, it's... You know, I visited with Deborah Felmuth, she's off walking the Camino, a good place for somebody who loves the Middle East to be walking the pilgrim route, you know, part of our Dream Council, Deborah. But when we were in Syria, she lived there and took two of us around. We went to Palestinian refugee camps where people had been living since 1948. They still had the keys to their houses. Right. And this 96-year-old woman was so vital. The call to prayer came on and she was up and to celebrate the divine. You know, and then she said, you know, "We don't want people deriving status from our suffering. You know, if you want to relate to us, we want music and poetry and puppet shows and culture." Right. We have enough suffering. And just the enormous. The cauldron of calamity now. Wonderful Lily Ye that I've interviewed a couple times. Love her, love her, love her so much. Libra, who would go to just really difficult places on the planet and invite, completely clean, not colonial at all, invite first the children, whatever, to express themselves creatively. You know, in South Central Philadelphia, in the Dandelion School in Beijing for the children of migrant workers, and Venus, whether it's Hyper Yang Mars, invite Venus, right? And you know, it was one of those schools, you know, looks like a prison, must be a school, and so she got she enthused the kids to draw protective spirits, paint them on the walls, on the buildings, and that came alive. And this one young girl who was 12 said, "Since Lily drew out my creativity, I am no longer willing to accept the fate that was assigned me." It's like, oh, right, a pretty grim fate, you know, but it worked, you know. And Lily went to Rwanda just after the fighting to Survivor Village, where people were just, they'd lost limbs, they'd lost all the members of their family, they were sometimes the only survivor of another village. They were all dark in their huts, nothing going on. And Lily got the kids to come out, and she goes, "Well, first we have to grieve." They hadn't been able to grieve. There were bones lying around. And this is on YouTube. We can find it. And so the children, and she set up and everybody in the village came and grieved and wept, right? And it's very powerful. And then things could happen. So the kids noticed that they painted a cow on a building and somebody gave them a cow. We go, okay. And then they painted a solar cell on the building. And Lily thought, So she got people from America to come and teach Survivor Village, the saddest of the saddest places, how to make solar cells. And they did. And they're one of the, I don't know what it is since, you know, in the last decade, you know, but at the time it was one of the few places, this poor, poor place that had risen with its grief, was one of the few manufacturing sites for solar cells in Africa. And we go, right, power of imagination, grief and imagination. We go, oh, that's really powerful, powerful, good. So, yeah, so the I Ching was sacrificed to the Ghost River and the underworld powers. Flee, escape, hide, disappear. Retiring describes your situation in terms of conflict and withdrawal. And I don't know. I mean, see, in your own lives, I was, it made sense to me, but it really made sense to a number of people who were texting me going, these people are crazy and this is going on. And it's like, no, at this particular, so I was typing to us and then typing text to pertinent, you know, micro human, right. Retire and be coupled with heaven, withdraw. Keep people who busily seek their own advantage at a distance, not through hate, but boundaries. It's like very specific. Retiring is pleasing to the spirits. Because all around me, I could see people feeding their own micro conflagration by concentrating on the befoiblements of, you know, my sister's not doing this, this is not doing this. And it's like, whatever we concentrate on gets bigger. I mean, we want critique and awareness of the horror and the cruelty to be informed, but whatever we keep saying, you know, it's the repetitive magic invocation, especially because the moon and Venus are in early Virgo, language crafting opposite Saturn, linguistic precision guides the vision. We go, right. So it's our rhythm. You know, it's like Esther Hicks, you know, talks about banging the drum, like, and there's a, you know, of the repetitive thing. So keep people who busily seek their own advantage at a distance. There were five people who were texting me. It's like, that fits for you and for you and for all of us, you know, in some way. Not through hate, but boundaries. Remember, in Aikido, it says, don't block, guide. So it's like, and it's why, you know, I used to say, you know, trickster has no rules but guidelines. And people were like, well, what is that? It's like, well, it's a thought, it's a suggestion. But in the all too few Aikido lessons I've actually taken, they go, don't block, right? Guide. You know, the art of peace is a wonderful thing to have on hand. We can quote from it randomly, but be small, retiring is pleasing to the spirits. Be small, adoptable, and flexible. Immerse yourself in the situation and endure. Because I also was running into people who are like, I've had it with being helpful. You know, it's like, easy. Nothing's going to be clear. Possibilities will not be visible till after the eclipse, you know. Keep small at distance by focusing on real integrity. A cycle is ending. Accumulate the spirit of the new. And that's why, you know, well, one of my favorite metaphors for us all to have a repertoire is, you know, for anybody who wants, we have cloaks of living ducks available, cloaks of living ducks, right? So that anything annoying just washes right off us like water on a duck's back. And the ducks are volunteering. There's no servitude in this. They're going, we love to make a cloak around your shoulders of living ducks, all shimmery, mallard green, iridescent would be great. All those things. And then other words, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So yeah. I don't know if I want to go into all the Pluto stations that I wrote out. I can't tell. I was too much in it. If it's readable, my own interesting journey, but just to say that, you know, the Pluto station I've noted through history, like really watched it. Well, I'll just say the one thing that, yeah, it's the back in 1990, well, it's all there. The first World trade explosion. And I do remember it visibly because it's like, oh, it's the day that Pluto stations. I'm home. It's snowing. It's really lovely. And it was within hours of the exact station that the first underworld garage bomb underneath the World Trade Towers went off, right? It's like, ooh, the news is very literal. And so now it's very reactive and literal. And then how do we, you know, it's part of what, you know, I've been ruminating about, the part of us that goes into a trance and maybe experiments with cutting a deal with something we love in nature, you know. Wait, there was a thought. Perhaps it will come back. Or perhaps somebody else would like to say something. No, all right. Oh, yeah, okay.
No, it was Lucy. I'm going to step up and speak out. Thank you, Caroline. It's so wonderful. This is just so perfect. I'm so happy and so nourished. And I just want to share what I've been doing this last week is a breath exercise, or, you know, practice of breath nourishment for myself. And I'm going to expand it based on many ideas I've had here, but very quickly, what it is, when I'm thinking of somebody, it might be a loved one, it might be Bibi Netanyahu, it could be anybody, you have your pick. And I think of them, I focus on them, and I think to be with them. And as I breathe in and as I breathe out, somewhere on this planet, that person too is breathing in and out. And for that moment, that time, I'm with them. Endeavoring to have clean energy without any expectations and no agenda. Anyway, I want to share that. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, it's I think the imaginative experimental kinship with those who are hostage. I did host, and Richard's a big fan of these guys, the Army's remote viewing guys. And I did one of them was married to somebody who was running the Monroe Institute, a very interesting, trippy place outside Charlottesville, where people train in psychic things. But so talking to him was interesting, and seeing the Neptune part of us going, well, what can we do? So he was the Army's top remote viewing guy, but they were really, I mean, it was really real. In the Iran hostage crisis, he, and I can't remember if it was another two of the remote viewers, they would go into a Neptunian trance, and the Army guys would say, how many in the room? And they go, 11 hostages in the room. And what's their physical condition? Yeah, I mean, that is so it was very specific information. And then I don't know if they were, I think it was a Mars Neptune kind of a thing. But in keeping with what you were saying, Lucy, it's like to experiment, you know, known or unknown, with those in many dire circumstances. But I mean, everywhere there's such conflagration in Ukraine, and the bombing is there as well. You know, at the army at the gates of Kyiv, and you know, and the hostages, and the sad grief. So according to affinity, and these are things we can play, open portals want to be opened now together, and then to have some time over this deep next couple of days to go on. And it's also a Vodun practice, you know, to somebody in the news, you know, that you're concerned about, that you put on your altar, that you send solace, that you send, you know, a cloak of solace and support. That you waft this, it's again without presumption, without causality, without hubris, just move. But it's like that's wants to be, you know, again, what can we do? But but that's why Neptune suggests we put wonder in front of almost everything. Let's wonder what we can do. Because again, just the pattern, it's so beautiful. I'll just look at the chart for a time, if that's all right with everybody, just to say, what is the guiding here? And we go, but there is so much beauty with which to cooperate. So first, the sun. Where am I here? Oh wait, oh, this is still Eliza. Sorry, Eliza, you're still up here. No, not that you shouldn't be, but let me put it back. Okay, there we go. That was great. Now we're back to ourselves here. This is Washington, D.C. This is the line of the horizon. So for everybody, it's a great visual sky for everybody. For us now, and for West Coast, 3 hours, later, Saturn overhead, you can see Saturn, like, you go, Saturn in Pisces, our dedication to the healing dream. And it is trining Mars, 120 degree angle, last degree of Libra entering Scorpio over the weekend. Remember the Pluto station just now, but for us and many, many, many people, again, inhaling the dark and exhaling the light, because it's not just volatile and explosive. It's volatile and explosive in degree to which something's been, it's transformative. It's a deep soul search for this country, and powers of imagination. And Pluto trines Uranus, and the moon will be moving into a grand trine in Earth. So, regenerative rebirth, what's been hidden that's also good, the memory of our mission of cooperating with the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, moving into play, nature's evolutionary trickster genius in, participatory animism realm. It's, when we think of, and it's good to consider everything, the sad horror of it all. But the Middle East, that whole zone is a major migratory bird migratory pathway. It's like there are masses of birds waiting or flying or dodging rockets. And it's like humans, and I think, something along the lines of what I put in the missive, the other thing, but going, oh, the earth has had it with humans outsourcing Mars and Saturn, our woofiness and our leadership to this boom, cruel, cataclysmic everywhere. It's like, and as Pat Ewing, don't know if she's here, but often says, when you go back into early Christianity, the atmosphere of miracles was prevalent. Like, well, of course, your son changed water into wine. Mine too. Next day, it was an atmosphere of like, oh, it's all kind of possible, very fluid, and that's, archaic part, is inviting. There's, let me just do this beautiful little thing here. Pluto stationing. Sextile 60 degree collaborative relationship with dreaming and music. 60 degree relationship to participatory animism, the whole realm of sensuality and color and texture and communing and and humbly saying, we humans, we got to cooperate with something larger and smarter than us, and brought. Pluto always likes to bring everyone to their knees if they have knees, right? There's that. And then the sun in Libra, it's at 17 Libra now, which is, I'm pretty sure that's two men placed under arrest. And that's also, oh no, Eliza's Neptune is close. It's not two men placed under arrest. It's, men unmasked by the girls at a party. It's like, oh, I could do that too. Right. So that's, but this is two men placed under arrest. So we go, right, boundaries would be super good. Boundaries would be super good. And then just the other the sun at 17 Libra opposite Chiron at 17 Aries. How to be most effectively in touch with the ancestral mentors. And its image for that degree is a hammock stretched between two trees, organizing options, finding one's rhythm. So for those of us who are not in immediate grief, violent fear, threat, you know, and I point just for the fun of it to in back of me, you might notice a cat in a hammock, just for fun. There we go. Demonstrating the Chironic attitude that is recommended. Yeah, so I don't know if you can see that's Queen Kismet Kitty always. There, she's even grooming herself on cue. All right, so there's that. And then I go back to the chart for a brief moment. So the dedication to the dream, Saturn, is opposite the moon. This is where my moon is. You know, it can get kind of prickly. But I find, so Saturn in the sky is opposite these Virgo guys and moon in Virgo, Venus Virgo for all of us. But I found like whenever I would go, oh, I feel kind of prickly or alone or fear or whatever. And then I go, oh, no, Saturn's opposing my moon. Cool. I'm supposed to feel that way. That's kind of wonderful. There's meaning. But it's like deep place. And then Saturn says, you know, depression and fear are too shallow. Go deeper, go deeper, go deeper. And then the moon trines Jupiter. It's like, and Jupiter quintiles back to Saturn. So it's like, okay. And so just a little more trippiness. Neptune says, we all get to take a 1 minute entheo journey with each other. Because I found this very trippy video that a wonderful, wonderful friend who's now an ancestress, alas, had sent me when we were doing such things together. So we have our trippy video lined up, do we, Richard? And this is, here we go, a little more Neptune here. Portals opening. Just a little microdose entheo journey for us all to be on. For those who love such sacraments, that's pretty good. And for those who are Pisces, that's how it is all the time. So that is one truth. But I do find that the entheo contributions like that do open the portals. Saturn quintiles Jupiter into a realm of us being able to invite in what can resolve something, you know. And this goes back to important encounter with Hawaiian friend on the Big Island a long, long time ago, and she took me to amazing steam vents sacred to Pele, the volcano goddess, and the community there when a very bad project in virgin rainforest was planned and they were laying the cement foundations for it. And so all the Hawaiian activists invited Pele to express her opinion and lava, right? And the scientists were like, we studied this shouldn't be a thing, let's just do it again, right? Lava. Right. Third time they were like, we'll just tiptoe away. There we go. So it was always invite in, you know, that the backstage powerful intelligences of nature that assume whatever metaphor we give it, but very shapeshifty, you know, are eager to be invited in. And back to the Eliza part of all of ourselves, right? The North Node in Pisces is, that metaphors and art and music are templates, into which to invite power, into the community. And ritual is just any physical thing we do that we imbue with symbolic intention. So is this useful fun so far, or are we having a, anybody want to say anything, or Pat, you are there, how wonderful.
I know, I'm a little dark, the light is not great. Couple things. I have Pluto in the first house, so I live with this all the time as far as Pluto goes. And what I've been thinking about and talking to Rebecca this week, actually, to me, sort of Pluto is clarity, and clarity to such a hot point that you cannot hide. And that can be why it's so disruptive, because, if it is, it can be, and if you allow yourself to offer up that clarity in the sense of vision, in the sense of clear vision, of clear ideas, of understanding what you want to put forth, and truly being honest with yourself, it doesn't have to be as disruptive, because anything. And one of the other things you said was, two things you said, which I found really interesting, is that we're in a time of great creativity, because one of the things, and of course I'm watching the news, good and bad, is that the people who perpetrated these attacks, no one could have imagined somebody using this, doing it this way. And I'd love to figure out a way to, what if there was a positive outcome of this that no one could have imagined before? Can we use that time of creativity in Pluto together to say, what would be, instead of it being, oh, wow, like 9/11, we never thought that someone would use planes to take down, towers. Taking back imagination. And the last thing I want to say is, if we were using imagination in a more positive way right now, does that help others? Does that put it out in the world more so that it can't be used as easily in this more negative way? Because we're going into the potential for escalation of a lot of this, right? And what I loved about what you did was bringing in the dark energy and letting out the light, because in times of chaos and pain, allowing someone to grieve is one of the kindest things you can do, giving people that moment and that time to really come, not even come to terms, but allow their emotions out. But it can also be used by people to create and foment chaos for their own ends. So, you see Iran coming in and saying something, you see Saudi Arabia, you see other folks saying something or trying to do something, or even inadvertently within Israel, or overtly, I mean, with Netanyahu, you can see people fomenting the chaos and or using it to create a power base for themselves, et cetera. And so I love the idea of us helping to, as that negativity is expressed, figuring out a way to cleanse it, send it back to source with harm to none. So that chaos in and of itself, that negative chaos, can't be used to foment someone's power base or to kill more or to hurt people more or to create more fear. So I appreciated that you put in that piece. So
hey, we do want to dissolve it out of the human repertoire.
Yes.
Sean, did you want to say something, Sean?
So when you're speaking about the Sabian symbols, the Sabian symbol of the two men under arrest in such close proximity to speaking about early Christianity, brought back my liberation theology self who hasn't been around in 20 years. And I suddenly started thinking, oh, but couldn't two men under arrest also be Paul and Silas, wrongly jailed, who then cry out and their cry of prayer opens the jail doors? And if that's a possibility, then could that also be the twinned silenced voices of justice and peace in the twinned nations that have been imprisoned, suddenly finding the right cry that opens the door and lets them walk out?
Let's all say that. Just say it one more time. What is the thing we are seeing that we're adding our molecules of intention to right now?
So we are seeing the prophetic, in the true sense, voices of Palestine and of Israel as two bodies, as two people who have been placed under arrest. And just like Paul and Silas, they cry out in prayer for the jail doors to open. And the jail doors open, and they walk out. And walking out, they carry their truth out into the world.
Right, and that reminds me to recommend again Judge Dee and the Four Heavenly Kings. It's on Netflix. It's really astounding when the Taoist, you think it's a conventional kung fu movie, and then the end is I'm gonna talk myself into rewatching it because it's like, yeah, but very much that. And so if we've gone into our Neptunian reverie, then we're getting our fourth little video thing ready, Backstage Badger, just to alert you too, because it's like if we go into the trippy voodoo video realm and the idea of imaginatively liberating everybody from their roles, it's like Steve Behrman years ago said, imagine world peace. He goes, too abstract. Imagine at the time, Margaret Thatcher and Yasser Arafat doing the hoochie coochie together. It's like that, be specific in the fun thing. So whenever you're ready, Backstage Badger, we have a pretty genius version of that, which of Mars and Venus, love and hate, can change into each other. Here we go.
Yes, I swear it's a truth, and I owe it all to you.
Those are the time of my life, and I owe.
There we go. Anyway, that's fun. Again, just to liberate, imaginative whimsy, imagination lays the tracks for the reality train to follow along behind, right? Again, the visioning. So we love that. Anybody else want to? Yes, Ben.
Thanks for bearing with me as I figure out Sabian symbols. I like sent three wrong groupings, but it was fun for me to play with it as I was going. So thanks for bearing with me, everyone in the chat. But I wanted to share, I think I finally got it right. Hopefully I did. It looks like the Chiron Sabian symbol, 17 degrees Aries, Aries 18 Sabian symbol, is an empty hammock hangs between two lovely trees. And following that video, I like the invitation of there's the two men arrested, there's the Hillary Trump, there's the Palestine Israel. I'm just seeing the twos and something about the invitation to be like, okay, Palestine Israel, just hanging in a hammock, two separate trees, just a rest, some play in the music of that last video, just like maybe some rest, some joy. I mean, I know it's really serious, but maybe some dancing could also be a way forward. I don't know. Maybe some pleasure, maybe some fun, maybe some dance.
Well, I think, stay unmuted for fun for a moment. But yeah, because one of the things I thought of tonight, and then I thought, oh, we have another session, and then we'll probably start up again pretty soon after. But, in the Middle East, one of my favorite musical forms in Egypt is this called the Zar, and it's an exorcism. Exorcism art is huge in the Middle East, probably everywhere, but in the Middle East. And I'll play some next week, but it's wonderfully spooky. It's very Pluto, right? It's in which the music takes the dancer down to the ground, and it's this underworld music, like whoa, whoa, whoa. It's Omar Khurshid and his electric guitar used so spookily, like whoa, 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 whoa. And the music takes the dancer, all of us, down to the ground, and she thumps the earth and takes on the demons of the community and works them through. And all dance and all Middle Eastern dance had this, you know, what you were talking about, Lucy, this exorcism, Pluto transformation, you know, cooking the demons. And then the dance is where the dancer takes on, inhales the darkness, cooks it into light, and prosperity and joy, you know. Those seeds are there. And for those not in the reactive, horrific, cruel thick of it, you know, we can contribute, you know, an atmosphere available for those under extreme pressure. I think the sentence I lost several miles back, but just the Lily Ye going to so many places and doing such incredible good. And I talked to her and was introducing her to give a lecture, and she just gotten back from Palestine. And this was, you know, maybe 8 years ago. And she's like, can't talk about it. You know, everywhere else in the world, I could pull beauty out. It's so deep. It's so ancient. It's so full of understandable grievance and reactivity. And it's like, oh, but so much beauty there too. You know, and then just to, well, you know, I was, we can all be reactive and, you know, we gather because all of us is better than any one of us. And, you know, so I was listening to an interview with White House spokesperson Jack Kirby, and it was so annoying. It was Mary Louise Kelly, who can be annoying on her own. But she at one point said, cutting off all water, all food, all medicine, all electricity, that's a war crime, isn't it, from the Geneva Convention? And Jack Kirby going, oh, it's important that we support Israel's full aggression. That's true. That's what it. And she pulled him back going, that's a war crime, isn't it? Oh, support, you know, measured response necessary now. You know, just, you know, and then other things. So, you know, but it's like, it's a war crime. I mean, it's a war crime. So I think that, you know, it's like this has happened before, but nothing so extreme, just the, So, well, we'll be working on this together, which is what is cool out? What is food? They're at the moment not allowing medicine or food or relief of any kind. This is also a war crime by the Geneva Convention into Gaza. And as we know, it is the most densely packed population area on the planet. It's 2 million people and something the size of Chicago. And it is to be addressed and for us to be feisty and Spiral, we're all working the thing. You know, when Netanyahu says, oh, and everybody, you should leave Gaza because we're going to obliterate it. And it's like, where? The Egyptian border's closed, the Israeli border's closed, and there's the sea, but that's blockaded. Where? Where do you suggest? Right? Just, you know, it's like, and again, you know, fierce sanity. And however, you know, people who want to do, I mean, Moon and Venus in Virgo, ruler of ritual magic, you know, map magic, you know, map of Gaza, avenues of cornmeal out, maybe protect, you know, it's creative, it's symbolic, imaginative, participatory whimsy of some kind. Just to remember Uranus, trickster genius, nature's trickster genius has no category about success, fail. Just try stuff. Try that. Going, well, that, no. Try that, no. Try that, ooh. Because right now, see, it's so strong, and dreams are so strong, like, ooh. I mean, I've been having dreams that were so strong, I didn't know they were dreams, you know, and it's like, sometimes just sort of minor details, but it's like, oh, that was so, anyway. So, you know, whatever we want to kind of call in, but.
Carolyn, but, I like the idea. I know there's no way out this way. I feel like the people in Gaza, they're the ones that are in the jail cell. And that interesting video of Trump and Hillary that you gave, it was to the music for Dirty Dancing, you know, and I kept wondering, like, okay, who's going to lift baby up? You know, who's going to be baby and who's going to be lifting baby up? And I thought, okay, that's like the only place for the, you know, the people to go. Like, I want to send them some sort of keys to like lift them up in some way, you know, like that's what happens in that song, you know, that you were like, how can we lift up those people and help them, you know, find peace, find a way to go maybe. And I just get that energy of going up, coming in, because all the other ways are blocked, you know?
Well, so. Yeah. And the thing I think I forgot to say, you know, about the remote viewing is because it was very Mars. It was just information. This many people in this room, in this kind of condition, they could tell movement to, you know, the woman has been taken somewhere else, you know, that, I mean, and we go, all right, so we know that doorway can be, you know, and it was real training. I mean, the Monroe Institute, I went to go give a talk there, and it's a very interesting place. And they said that they would happily give me a course. They teach courses there. Disciplined, you know, Saturn Pisces kind of thing. And I go, oh, maybe remote viewing. And they're like, no, it's not your style. It's very rigorous and disciplined. I'm like, okay. Okay. All right. But it is it
Saturn
is,
conjunct your sun. You could have done that.
I know. But they said I sort of got like, okay. Because what I was going to say is, you know, for us to experiment with, okay, we can see it or we can feel it. We might by affinity, a particular realm of hostages, a particular whatever. And then to have that portal, this is the Saturn Jupiter quintile, be a portal of blessing and manifest luck, right? And which, yeah. And Sean was talking about, you know, the keys. And Uranus looks like an archaic jail key.
Throw him a key.
Right. And then there's a really great book. Michael Gruber is a really interesting writer. I haven't heard from him lately, but he wrote esoteric thrillers that were like, ooh. But one of his is called The Good Son, and it's a creative Western woman who I think she's in the circus, right, but falls in love with a highborn patrician Muslim Pakistani man, marries him, studies the Quran deeply, but still puts on circus clothes and tours around and meets all kinds of people in a very heretical fashion. Goes to Zurich, gets a Jungian, trains as a Jungian analyst, becomes an expert on terrorism, is kidnapped by terrorists on her way to an anti-terrorism conference. Anyway, but I think it's a good Jupiter story for us all. Excuse me. It's pretty great. because she uses everything to liberate everybody. Because of her scholarship, she can do Quran Dharma combat with the tyrannical mullah. And then the terrorist men, begin to bring their dreams to her. And she helps them to interpret their dreams for them. And in that way, liberates everybody. It's a very earned great story, but about, you know, to expand our repertoire, she could really talk theology, you know, and she could really Jung, right?
If we can feel that dark Pluto, like if we're willing to feel the dark and breathe in the dark, then that's, you know, what connects to the Neptune, and then that connects to the Jupiter and the Uranus. So I think it starts with us being able to look at all the dark and feel all the dark. And then that does lead to the liberation, like in that lady. So I appreciated you bringing that practice in tonight. It was so important.
Which one?
Feeling the dark, being, you know, right. You know, being willing to breathe in the dark, being able to feel all that we don't want to feel, look at all that we don't want to feel with the Pluto, just like right now with it being direct, we have to look at and really feel all that this darkness and not turn away from it. And if we can hold it into our heart, then it can, with the Neptune, it can be turn into compassion. And that's how you can send out the light. That's how it gets transmuted. And I think that's what brings then in the Jupiter, like those planets in a row there, all sextile each other. It's like you have to start with feeling the darkness to get to that light feeling. So I just thought it was really powerful. So thank you.
And did we like the spooky serpent in the Rudra thing?
Yeah, that was great. That was both Neptune and Pluto, for sure.
I think so. Yeah, very Neptune and Pluto. I think so. I think I'm going to spend more time with that Rudra mantra. The serpent is so well animated. It's deeply hypnotic, right? And then it's got the light going around the triangle, and it's like, and it's dangerous in just the way I think that we want to become intimate with that quality of like, ooh, you know, and it's the kind of the positive intrigue, the spiciness, you know. So I think I will play that and go off. So we just did 4 minutes, although it seemed like forever, I must say. Anyway, 4 minutes, because part of me is like, oh, okay, here we go. But I think to go, yeah, for those who feel to. So yeah, we have a worthy outro. If anybody wants to, I haven't caught up on our notes here yet. Oh my, all kinds of things. Birthday wishes. Well, birthday wishes for all of us, right? With the eclipse. And Friday the 13th. It's a mythological lineup of metaphors eager to be animated, right? So if we need more Venus, right, in the hyper yang Mars thing, you know, toxic mimic of Mars, right? Remember, Mars right now is in Libra, about to enter Scorpio in hours, trining Saturn. Positive yang Mars, positive protective wizard Mars, calm weaving, dedicated Taoist rainbringer, Judge D and the four heavenly kings Mars, like that available, like, ooh. Mars, Saturn, really great. Yeah. Mars and Saturn trine, those are the parts of us we've, you know, we see just completely inadequate in the world conflagration. It's like, no, we want to pull that back in, you know. And just remembering, you know, for a time, there, my friend Kathy Heller, who was in the police, and she sent me all these policemen for readings, and I go, oh, we're hiring these people to be psychic wizards, completely ill-equipped, but their circumstances that. And I just remember one guy came and he's like, oh, well, I had this really spooky experience of remote viewing. And precognition. It's like, we got place, and I go, I've been here before. I've been here before. Oh, I know what we're going to find in that room. Oh, no, we did it. And he delineated this story, and he goes, but don't tell my partner, because I'll get sent to psych, and he'll think I'm crazy. And his partner comes for a reading and says, I had this amazing, really scary, creepy experience, but don't tell my partner, because it's like, you know, you lads should talk, you know, that they're all having that. And that's also part of, you know, right before we were kind of opening the doors here, I was going, radio, I can do part of, you know, the 2008 interview about the one state, maybe I'll see there. And then I thought, oh, wait a minute. I have an index card to remind myself of Ed Tick, who's got a new book out, The Practice of Dream Healing. And I've interviewed Ed a couple times, but not in a long, long time. And he, I think, might be really good on Mars, Warrior Mars into Not, because he's been working with veterans since the Vietnam War. And he's written a lot about it. And it was him who first told me the Odyssey, Homer's Odyssey, is a manual for how you take veterans home. It takes 12 years and you got to do all the stuff and talk to Tiresias in the underworld and build a temple to the god who's been oppressing you and all those things. So Ed's been working that. I mean, again, I haven't talked to him in a while, but I think he might be, I will call him, because he also was working with soldiers going back to Vietnam to rebuild the temples they bombed. He was taking soldiers to the ruins of Asclepius to do dream healing work. And those places have resonance. You know, some of the Asclepius soldiers were bivouacked there in World War I, I think. And the soldiers got freaked out because they all had dreams of Asclepius coming to them that night going, ah! So, you know, and then, you know, the Asclepius are hopping up and down, you know, wanting to be invited in. So anyway, so there's that. So Ed Tick, I just remember one of the soldiers he was interviewing says, Americans are hiring us to do horrible things so that they can all feel nice. It's like, So, you know, part of us, dark exhaling light, but also inhaling light, expressing our own darkness, any complicity. And that's why I found it so interesting that all of these themes, you know, are huge, and then in little micro family kerfuffles and things, it's like the principles, anything, anywhere is everywhere. So there's that. But so we will head out.
You know, Caroline, this is Lucy. I just want to mention one thing that I'm finding very useful right now, even though it's very difficult, is the PBS series Once Upon a Time in Northern Ireland. I highly recommend it. I'll leave it at that.
Yes. And yeah, and again, I highly recommend Turn, The Spies in the Revolutionary War. It's, you know, it's yeah, that's a great recommendation. Yeah, all of these, how to spiral out of it. So yes, well, I deferred to Bob Marley taking us on out now. And I think it's just got such a good rhythm. We began with Third World and their great song, You're Playing Us Too Close, which I'd remembered as a favorite song from years ago and was wondering, like, is that substantial enough to address the enormity? And then I found the recording of them at that concert and it's like, oh yeah, it is. So here's Bob Marley in Natural Mystic, and it's great to participate with the words, you know, and with the wafting of the blessings as we go. So all right, team, here comes Bob to guide us out.
suffer. Many more will have to die. Don't ask me why. Things are not the way they used to be. I won't tell no lie. One and all got to face reality now. Though I try to find the answer to all the questions they ask, though I know it's impossible to go living through the past, don't tell no lie. There's a natural mystic blowing through the air. Can't keep them down. If you listen carefully now, you will hear. That's a natural mystic blowing through the air.
Thank you, Tim.
Happy birthday, Caroline. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thank you. Peace out.